Good day, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to the General Electric second quarter 2013 earnings conference call. At this time, all participants are in a listen-only mode. My name is Shaquana, and I will be your conference coordinator today. If at any time during the call you require assistance, please press star followed by zero, and a conference coordinator will be happy to assist you. If you experience issues with the slides refreshing or there appear to be delays in the slides advancement, please hit F5 on your keyboard to refresh. As a reminder, this conference is being recorded. I would now like to turn the program over to your host for today's conference, Trevor Schoenberg, Vice President of Investor Communications. Please proceed.
Thank you, Shaquana. Good morning and welcome, everyone. We're pleased to host today's second quarter webcast. Regarding the materials for the webcast, we issued the press release earlier this morning, and the presentation slides are available via the webcast. The slides are available for download and printing on our website at www.ge.com/investor. As always, elements of this presentation are forward-looking and are based on our best view of the world and our businesses as we see them today. Those elements can change as the world changes. Please interpret them in that light. For today's webcast, we have a large group here. We have our Chairman and CEO, Jeff Immelt, our Vice Chairman and new CEO of GE Capital, Keith Sharon, and our new CFO for GE, Jeff Bornstein. Now I'd like to turn it over to our Chairman and CEO, Jeff Immelt.
Great. Thanks, Trevor. Good morning, everybody. Look, on the first page, our environment improved slightly in the second quarter. Emerging markets remained resilient while Europe stabilized. Orders in the U.S. were the strongest we've seen in some time, with 20% growth. Overall, our orders grew by 4%, and backlog increased to $223 billion. Earnings were solid. Reported EPS was $0.36, but this included $0.02 of uncovered restructuring. On a sustaining basis, it would have been $0.38, up slightly from 2012. Year-to-date EPS is $0.75, up 6%. Operations were strong in the quarter. Margins grew by 50 basis points, and we're on track for 70 basis points for 2013. Our simplification efforts have resulted in $470 million of cost out year-to-date, and we had a solid performance in cash. Our disciplined and balanced capital allocation plan continues. Through the half, we have returned about $10 billion to investors, well on the way to our $18 billion goal. As for M&A, we've completed Lufkin and Avio, and Avio remains on track for a third quarter close. All in all, a good quarter for operating and strategic execution. Our orders growth remains solid at +4%. As I said earlier, backlog grew to $223 billion. Performance was broad-based. We had services growth in five of six businesses. Orders growth accelerated in China, the U.S., and Europe. Aviation and oil and gas remained very strong, with their combined backlog growing by $7 billion. Let me give you a few other highlights. Oil and gas orders grew by 24%, with double-digit growth in four of five segments. Aviation commercial spare orders grew by 19%. Healthcare solutions equipment orders grew by 9% in the U.S. Energy management orders grew by 19%. North American power generation service orders grew by 24%. We still have a few headwinds, like heavy-duty gas turbines, but there are signs of strength. We continue to add price to backlog, with orders pricing up 0.9%, and we've now had positive orders price for the past six quarters. This will contribute to a positive value gap in the second half of 2013 and beyond. Organic growth was down 1% for the quarter, but it's really a wind turbine story. Organic growth ex power and water grew by 5%. Growth markets expanded by 5%, with four of nine regions up by double digits. We continue to make progress in key regions like Russia, Africa, and China. Our growth market position is a competitive advantage for GE. Services grew by 2% with broad-based strength, and we're encouraged by services in aviation, oil and gas, and transportation. Transportation services is a particular highlight, with growth of 28%. We continue to be impacted by the sluggish European economy for gas turbine services, and U.S. sequestration impacted our military spares business. The service margins grew by 70 basis points, and backlog grew to $166 billion. We made solid progress across the company with our new product launches. The Paris Air Show was very successful for GE, with $26 billion in wins. We're gaining share in healthcare with robust product launches, and we're expanding service offerings with new software launches in aviation, power, and healthcare. In the second half, revenue will be positively impacted by power and water shipment timing. Specifically, 70% of our gas turbines, wind turbines, and distributed power products will be shipped in the second half. We have strong margin expansion with growth of 50 basis points. Every business grew in the quarter except for home and business solutions, and even in that segment, appliances expanded while lighting lagged, and we're on track for 70 basis points for the year. Key margin execution drivers are within our control. We'll have one of the strongest value gaps in history as we generate both price and material deflation. We'll manage R&D to be flat for the year. We'll reduce SG&A by at least $1 billion. We continue to execute multiple restructuring projects with attractive paybacks, and we're in the process of completing our projects for 2013 while developing a pipeline of new ideas. A key driver for margin improvement in the second half is the power and water volume growth, where we remain on track. Overall margins were slightly better than we expected in the second quarter, and that gives us more confidence going forward. Cash execution improved in the quarter. Second quarter industrial CFOA was up 60%, excluding the impact of NBC-related taxes. In the quarter, we announced that GE Capital will pay up to a $6.5 billion dividend to the parent for the year, and we remain on track for our CFOA goals. We've returned $9.9 billion to investors in the first half through dividends and buyback. This is well on our way to our $18 billion goal. Our announced deals of Lufkin and Avio will close in the second half. Both fit our model of bolt-on deals that are accretive to earnings. We end the quarter with a consolidated cash position of $89 billion with $19 billion at the parent. This is a symbol of our financial strength and supports balanced capital allocation. And now over to Keith. As you know, this will be his last call, but you'll see him again at GE Capital. And welcome to Jeff, my new partner. So, Keith, over to you.
Jeff, thanks. I'll start with the second quarter summary. We had continuing operations revenues of $35 billion. That was down 4% from last year. Industrial sales of $24.6 billion are down 2%, driven by power and water, as you can see on the right side. GE Capital revenues of $11 billion are down 3%. Operating earnings of $3.7 billion were down 8%. Operating earnings per share of 36 cents were down 5%. As Jeff said, that includes actually 3 cents of restructuring, which I'll cover on the next page, including the capital restructuring. And we also no longer have the NBCU earnings, which was 2 cents in 2012 in the second quarter. Continuing EPS includes the impact of non-operating pension, and net earnings per share includes the impact of discontinued operations, which we'll also cover on the next page. As Jeff covered, the CFOA was $3.7 billion, including a very strong performance in Q2 from the industrial CFOA, plus $1.9 billion of GE Capital dividends back to the parent. For taxes, the GE rate of 17% for the quarter is below the 20% rate we previously communicated for the year. We had an audit resolution with the IRS in the quarter, and because that's required to be recorded entirely in the quarter rather than spread over the year, it caused the rate to be lower in the quarter. We might have other audit resolutions during the year, and depending on the outcome, we currently expect a rate of high teens to 20% for GE for the full year. The capital rate's down from our forecast because of larger benefits, including the tax-efficient foreign disposition transactions, as well as the recapture of prior untaxed losses at real estate. As we previously indicated, we do expect a GE capital rate in the mid-single digits for the year, but there could be some variability at GE Capital as well, depending upon IRS audit resolutions and the tax on other possible dispositions. On the right side, you can see the segment results. Total industrial segment profit was up 2%. X Power and Water, our industrial businesses, grew their segment profit by 12%. Power and Water was down in the second quarter. However, the results were a significant improvement over Q1. GE Capital earnings were down in the second quarter in line with the lower assets, and we'll cover all the segments in more detail over the next several pages. Before I get to the businesses, I'll start with the other items page from Q2. At the top, in total, we had 3 cents of restructuring and other charges in the quarter. 2 cents related to industrial, and that's in the corporate line at the industrial reporting, and 1 cent was in GE Capital. We continue to reduce our cost structure by lowering our SG&A headcount. We're rationalizing our footprint, and this should be a nice tailwind for margins as we go into the second half. We also had a 1 cent charge in the quarter related to an impairment for an investment that we made in Brazil, and that charge was also included in the corporate line. We had 2 one-time benefits in the quarter. First, as I mentioned on the previous page, we had a favorable IRS settlement, which resulted in almost 4 points of lower GE tax rate in Q2, and in total contributed a 1 cent industrial benefit. And second, in GE Capital, we exited our fleet platform in Canada, which resulted in a 1 cent benefit in the quarter, and the benefit from this transaction was mostly tax-related and contributed to a lower GE Capital tax rate. For discontinued operations at the bottom of the page, we had $122 million after-tax impact in the quarter. On WMC, we recorded $128 million of new pending claims, so that's down significantly over the run rates that we've been seeing. And we added $47 million in reserves in the quarter, resulting in a total reserve balance of $787 million, covering both pending and future claims. On Gray Zone, we booked $76 million of additional reserves to reflect ongoing claims, and we ended the quarter with $557 million in reserves. On the bottom of the page is a summary of our operating EPS and our industrial gains and restructuring. In the first quarter, we reported 39 cents of operating EPS, and that included 4 cents of net benefit as the Q1 NBCU gain was greater than our industrial restructuring. In Q2, we reported 36 cents, and that included a 2 cent drag from industrial restructuring, again in the corporate line, and we expect to have at least 2 cents more of industrial restructuring in the second half. So for the total year, we don't expect the NBCU gain and restructuring to have any impact on EPS. So I'll move on to the businesses, and let me start with Power and Water. Orders of $6 billion were down 1%, and Europe remained challenging, down 40%. Ex-Europe orders were up 6%. Equipment orders of $3 billion were down 5%. Thermal orders remained soft at $690 million, down 50%. We had orders for 24 heavy-duty gas turbines versus 30 last year. We had a strong renewables quarter with orders of $1.4 billion, up 55%. Distributed power orders of $700 million were up 3%, and service orders of $3 billion were up 2%. Again, ex-Europe services orders were up 13%, driven by the strong U.S. power gen services, both outages and upgrades, with orders up 29%. Overall, for power and water, orders pricing was up 1.6%. Revenue of $5.7 billion was down 17%, driven by lower volume. Equipment revenue of $2.6 billion was down 30%. We shipped 19 gas turbines versus 31 last year, and we shipped 351 wind turbines versus 726 last year. Service revenue of $3.1 billion was down 3%. Power gen services revenue was down 1% in total, but up 14% ex-Europe again, driven by the strength in the U.S., which was up 20%. Segment profit of $1087 million was down 17%, driven by the lower volume. SG&A costs were down 9% in Q2. Value gap was positive, and margins increased by 10 basis points. So Q2 showed improvement over Q1 for Power and Water. If you look at the second half dynamics, as Jeff said, we've got a lot of volume, and we expect Power and Water volume to be higher in the fourth quarter than the third quarter. Renewables will continue to improve, distributed power and services continue to improve, and costs are going to continue to go lower. So our current outlook is to deliver the total year framework that Jeff covered on Power and Water at EPG. On the right side is oil and gas. Results in the second quarter were very strong. Orders of $5 billion were up 24%. Equipment orders of $2.8 billion were up 42%. We saw double-digit growth across all the segments, with turbo machinery up 74%, driven by U.S. midstream LNG orders. Subsea was up 30%, driven by large projects in Indonesia and Angola. Service orders of $2.3 billion were up 8%. We saw nice growth in global services, up 14%. And we're making significant progress in growing our subsea service business, which was up 44%. This was partially offset by measurements and controls, which was down 1%. While still down, this is up from the first quarter when M&C was down 13%, so some improvement in the market. Our backlog grew by $1.1 billion in the quarter to $18 billion, and our orders pricing was up 80 basis points, our ninth quarter of positive order price increases. Revenue of $4 billion was up 9%. Equipment revenue of $2 billion was up 11%, driven by growth in subsea and drilling and surface. And service revenues of $2 billion were up 6%, driven by stronger global spare parts sales. Segment profit of $532 million was up 14%, as the benefits of higher volume, positive price, and SG&A reductions more than offset higher program spending and drove 70 basis points of margin expansion. Next is aviation. The aviation team had a strong quarter. Orders of $5.8 billion were up 4%, with equipment orders of $3.2 billion up 7%. Commercial engine orders of $2.5 billion were up 81%, driven by $1.4 billion of CFM orders, including $670 million of LEAP orders. Military equipment orders of $300 million were down 72%, driven by no repeat of the Saudi F-110 order last year, which was $890 million. Service orders of $2.6 billion were up 1%. Commercial service orders of $2 billion were up 11%. The 2Q average daily spares order rate was $24.6 million, up 19%, as we continue to see a nice rebound from the higher year-to-date GE fleet utilization. It's up 2.6% globally, and as airline shop visits and parts restocking return to more normal buying behaviors. Military service orders were down 25%, as we're seeing some impact from reduced flight hours and inventory management. Overall for aviation, order pricing was up 2.5%. Revenue of $5.3 billion was up 9%, driven by equipment up 12%. We shipped 596 commercial engines in the quarter, which was up 30 units or 5%. We shipped 33 GEnx units, up from 27 last year, and we shipped 280 military engines, which were up 21 units or 8%. Service revenues of $2.6 billion were up 6%, driven by commercial services up 12%, partially offset by military services, which was down 6% on lower spare parts. Segment profit of $1067 million was up 16%, driven by the strong value gap, pricing up 3.6%, and also by higher volume, and margin rates grew by 1.1 points in the quarter. On the right side is healthcare. Orders of $4.8 billion were up 2%. Equipment orders of $2.8 billion were up 4%, and that's 7 points better than we saw in the first quarter. Developed markets were up 3%, with the U.S. up 5. Europe was up 7. Japan was down 26, but it's down 8, excluding the impact of foreign exchange. Developing markets were up 8%, driven by China up 16, Latin America up 4, India up 1. If you go by modality, MR was up 14%, CT was down 6, ultrasound was up 13, life sciences was down 1, and diagnostic guidance systems was down 5%. Service orders of $2 billion were down 2%. Revenue of $4.5 billion was flat, and again, that's driven by the growth markets up 10%, offset by the developed markets down 4%. Segment profit of $726 million was up 5%, as the benefits of restructuring and higher volume more than offset the impact of lower pricing, and margin rates were up 80 basis points in the quarter. Next is transportation. Orders of $1.1 billion were down 23%. Equipment orders of $444 million were down 45%, as we continue to see the impact of soft North American locomotive and global mining equipment markets. Service orders of $633 million were up 7%, driven by locomotive services. Orders pricing was up 40 basis points, and revenues of $1.6 billion were up 2%, as the growth in signaling and parts more than offset lower equipment revenues, which were down 14%. We shipped 170 locomotives in the quarter versus 243 last year. Segment profit of $313 million was up 11%, driven by the positive value gap and services growth, which also drove margins up 160 basis points. Energy management had a strong quarter versus last year. Orders of $2.3 billion were up 19%, driven by digital energy up 24% and power conversion up 20%. We saw strong growth in digital meters and in the marine segment in Brazil and China. Revenues of $2 billion were up 6%, driven by power conversion up 7%, partially offset by lower revenues in digital energy. Segment profit of $31 million was up from $4 million last year, driven by the improved value gap, and segment margins were up 140 basis points. Home and Business Solutions had another positive quarter. Revenues of $2.1 billion were up 5%, as 8% growth in appliances was partially offset by a 4% decline in lighting sales, and segment profit of $83 million was up 5%. Appliances was up 31%, driven by positive pricing and lower program spending, partially offset by the results in lighting. Margins were flat for the quarter, and we continue to see strength in housing. Second quarter housing starts were up 18%, boosted by single family up strong double digits and multifamily starts up over 20%. So with that, let me turn it over to Jeff Bornstein to cover GE Capital.
Thanks, Keith. GE Capital revenue was just under $11 billion in the quarter, down 3%. Driven by lower assets, partly offset by higher gains. Assets were down 7% or $37 billion year over year. Net income was $1.9 billion, down 9% from prior year, primarily driven by lower assets. The higher gains were offset by losses, marks, and impairments in the quarter. Tax benefits were essentially flat year over year, with the rate down driven by lower pre-tax income on lower assets. We ended the quarter with $391 billion of ending net investment. That's down $40 billion from last year and down $11 billion sequentially. Our net interest margin was up 18 basis points versus 2012 to 5% and flat with the first quarter. Tier 1 common ratio on a Basel 1 basis improved to 11.2% in the quarter, driven by the reduction in investment in the balance sheet and after paying $1.9 billion in dividends in the quarter. On the right side of the page, asset quality trends continue in the right direction with delinquency rates improving across the portfolio, the only exception being the seasonality we expected in our UK mortgage business. In addition, non-earning assets totaled $6.6 billion. That's down $600 million from the first quarter and down $1.6 billion versus last year. CP ended the quarter at $36 billion, well on its way to the $35 billion plan for the year, and liquidity was very strong, ending the quarter at $70 billion. Now, to walk through the segment performances of CLL, commercial lending and leasing businesses ended the second quarter with $174 billion of assets. That's down 6% from last year, driven by a reduction of non-core assets of about $7 billion and $4 billion of lower core assets, primarily driven by asset sales, including the Fleet Canada disposition Keith referred to. On-book core volume was 6% higher than the second quarter of 2012, and new business returns remained attractive at about 2% returns on investment. Earnings were stronger across all the regions and up 31% total, driven by the fleet disposition, asset sales, higher tax benefits in Europe, partially offset by asset impairments. Asset quality continued improving with delinquencies down 15 basis points versus last year, and non-earning assets were down 30% versus the second quarter of 2012. In the consumer segment, we ended the quarter with $136 billion of assets, up 1%. Net income of $828 million was down 9%, primarily driven by the removal of reserve seasonality in our U.S. retail business under the new modeling approach that we completed in the first quarter. We expect reserve coverage in the U.S. retail business to be about the same in the third quarter. The U.S. retail business earned $563 million in the second quarter, down $78 million from last year, driven by the reserving change I just mentioned and partly offset with core growth. Asset growth in this business was strong at 9%, and asset quality continues to set new benchmarks, with 30-day delinquency down to 3.85%. Our core Europe business earned $149 million in the quarter, which was essentially flat year over year. The real estate team continues to execute very well. Assets ended the quarter at $42 billion. That's down 28% year over year. Net income of $435 million was up two times versus 2012, and that was driven by higher gains on the equity portfolio and higher tax benefits. The business sold 180 properties with a book value of $1.9 billion for about $200 million in gains in the quarter. Asset quality continues to improve with 30-day delinquencies on the debt book at 2.1%, and that's 6 basis points lower sequentially. The verticals, GCAS earned $304 million. That's down 1%. Down 1% with assets and down 3%, driven by lower gains on aircraft sales and modestly higher impairments on aircraft held for sale. Returns remain very attractive on new volume. EFS earnings were down, driven by the impairment of a single asset in our energy book and modestly lower gains across the portfolio. For our total results, we did have roughly $300 million of tax provisions in the GE Capital corporate that partially offset the tax benefits in the segments to book to a total year expected rate of mid-single digits. This, along with the non-repeat of the $200 million of tax benefits from the BP business properties transaction in the second quarter of 2012, explains the higher corporate charge year over year. So overall, GE Capital continues to perform well. Its results were in line with our strategy to reduce the size of the business. And as you look forward to the third quarter, with the loss of earnings from shrinking assets and adjusting for one-time items, the normalized run rate for GE Capital is still in the range of about 1.8 to 1.85 in earnings. So with that, I'll turn it back to Jeff.
Great, Jeff. Thanks. As to the framework, we have really no change to the 2013 operating framework. We're not planning for an improved environment for the balance of 2013, but execution levers are in our control. A solid backlog, good technology, strong cost control, and disciplined capital allocation. In addition, we have a very diverse global footprint, which is well positioned for the macro tailwinds that are out there, like in oil and gas. So again, as I said, no change to our 2013 operating framework. We still plan on solid industrial earnings growth for the year, driven by expanding margins. Our second quarter profile supports this growth. GE Capital will have solid growth for the year, and we have no change in our framework for corporate costs or cash. We still plan on double-digit EPS growth for the year. So everything's consistent with what we said at EPG, and we're well-positioned to deliver for investors. In conclusion, let me recap our status versus investor goals we set for the year. First, our industrial earnings growth will improve during the year. Power and water was a drag in the first half, but should have positive earnings growth in the second half. The other segments are executing, so we should see strong growth for total industrial in the second half. We plan to achieve 70 basis points of margin improvement for the year. The second quarter exceeded our expectations, and the team did a solid job on execution. We expect to receive up to a $6.5 billion dividend from GE Capital this year. Organic growth will likely be at the low end of our 2 to 6% range for 2013. Again, the wind turbine cycle is a headwind, but we're well positioned for the future with a solid backlog. and the balance of our industrial businesses should grow in line with our 5 to 10% organic growth goal. We're on track to return $18 billion to shareholders through dividends and buyback. So for GE, this is a solid quarter, and we're on track for a good year. Now, Trevor, back to you, and we'll take some questions.